for the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Good afternoon and welcome to this installment of Critical Mass. This is your host this week, Rick Franzi. My partner, Doug Gefeller, will be hosting the show again next week. And we'll be talking about the content of his show here shortly. Very exciting show today. We have two great guests. The first is Les Walker. Les, are you there?
Yes.
Great. And the second gentleman is Tom Ziancina. Tom, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, I'll get back with both of you in just a couple minutes. I wanted to go through a couple things with the audience before we get started on this show. Just want to let you know that this is our ninth installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. As you know, if you're a regular listener to us, that this is an extension of the business that Doug Gefeller, my partner, and I run here in Orange County, California. We lead executive forums, which we call CEO peer groups, under the banner of Renaissance Executive Forums. And currently, we're facilitating four forum groups in Orange County for businesses with varying sizes, from pre-revenue startup firms to firms with greater than $100 million in revenue on an annual basis. And we're very excited about the interest and reception that this radio show has received. We just did get from the radio station the latest information for the month of March, and we had seven shows in March. We had 440 visitors to our site, taking a look at the content of Critical Mass and looking at the information, as well as 220 downloads of the show. And so, you know, we're very encouraged that in our first month of broadcasting this content that so many of you visited our site and also downloaded the content, which tells us that we are helping business owners and top executives here who are listening to our show make better, more informed decisions. And that's clearly going to be the case for those of you that are listening to this show today, either live or via MP3 podcast download at a later date. Les and Tom are leading authorities on the subject of paperless environment and the green-friendly concept, I should say, of the paperless environment. Les leads a firm, DocuSource, and Tom leads DataNet Solutions. And I'm looking forward to having them both on the show because Les and Tom are helping countless companies and governmental agencies realize what many of us know has been the long-promised payoff of the paperless environment. So I guess without any further delay, I think it's appropriate to bring our guests online. Both of them are diligently working there in their offices, helping their clients improve the processes in their environment and save money. So Les, if I could start with you, maybe you could give our audience a short history of your path to DocuSource.
Sure, Rick. I grew up in public accounting as a CPA and then as a CFO, primarily working with middle market companies, covered about 13 years. This is where I learned firsthand the inefficiencies of the office environment and how technology could add value. I've been CEO of DocuSource for the last 16 years.
Okay, so clearly you've seen a lot of changes in those 16 years, and that's going to give us an opportunity to delve into that here in a minute. I'd like to ask Tom if he wouldn't mind giving us a thumbnail sketch of your path to DataNet Solutions, Tom.
Sure will, Rick. I started the business in 1995 doing medical billing for doctors. In the course of the business, I had more comments made about the amount of paper the doctors had to deal with, especially when it came to filing and retrieving, and then the actual physical storage. Now, I spent a lot of time researching document imaging and management, and then I found a company called Laserfish. The entire concept turned a light on in my brain that it really made sense to me. I believed that this was the path to the future, especially after reading a report that predicted the federal government would someday in the future mandate document imaging and document management. They haven't done it yet, but I still believe they will. Take, for example, what the Federal Reserve is doing with the Check 21 law. This law will probably eliminate the paper check as we know it by 2015. Now, in November 1996, I began representing Laserfish as a value-added reseller, and have been doing it ever since. Laserfish has been in my business since Laserfish has been in business since 1987 and continues today under the same ownership and management.
So between you two gentlemen, we have close to 30 years or maybe over 30 years of experience in this field, and that's quite impressive and good news for our listening audience to be able to take advantage and benefit of your years of experience in seeing how this technology is kind of maturing and evolving within different applications. You know, many of us can remember back to the claims made about the paperless business environment dating back, from my recollection, back into the mid-80s. Maybe you kind of connect with that as well. So, Les, can I ask you, you know, where are clients deploying your solutions, your DocuSource solutions today?
Sure. The back office is the most common application. For example, the majority of our clients' office staffs reside in the accounts, the accounting department, including accounts payable, billing, and collection functions, human resource departments, and customer service. This is where you find the majority of a client's transactional processing effort, as we refer to it. In a manual document environment, the challenges are that too much time is spent on data input, searching for documents, sharing documents, manually routing documents and files, tracking compliance. Managers have no visibility or timely information as to work levels of their staff, issues they face, or pending deadlines. And the solution to this problem is to first substantially reduce the data input through what we call electronic capture or the scanning of documents. Once the data is in electronic form, the ability to read it and integrate it into a client's ERP system or their accounting system. Collecting all the documents, the data, in a single repository for easy retrieval and sharing, providing department managers with real-time electronic tools to manage the workload levels of their staff, the upcoming deadlines, any issues, and the productivity of each office worker. Through the automation process, compliance can be achieved as well, without human intervention, simply by providing automated exception reporting.
Tom?
Yeah, I'll give you simply, deployment can be found in just about every department of each of our clients. Les surely described in detail how they do it. Now, our clients include government at all levels and commercial accounts from single-user systems to hundreds of users. Of course, Laserfish is a very scalable, which makes it possible for DataNet to deal with virtually every small to Fortune 500 types of companies. We have everything in between, specifically a DataNet. Of course, if you have a paper problem, DataNet and Laserfish can deal with it on virtually any level.
Could you give us an example of a recent deployment, Tom,
I'll give you a couple.
Okay.
A couple, for example, include one of our customers that was in a seven-story building, and they were looking at having to relocate because of space problems. We installed Laserfish something like 4 years ago, and they remain in the same building today. We eliminated filing cabinets and entire file rooms to make space for offices and cubicles where people can now work. In another California county, we have 14 servers running, which connects the district attorney, the superior court, the probation department, sheriff, coroner, and every law enforcement agency in that county. All of these agencies can transfer documents electronically between them. This system included customizations, integrations, and, of course, our core product, Laserfish. I'll give you one more example, or I can go on for hours. We have a Fortune 500 customer who currently has over 7 terabytes of images stored on her server. 7 terabytes, that's 7 trillion, or about 140 million pages that would be paper.
Oh.
You know, the idea of a trillion used to be mind-boggling, but unfortunately with all the publication this year in different areas of talking about dollars and trillions, you're sort of coming to grips with how big of a number a trillion really is.
Yep.
Les, I guess I'd like to ask if you would give us an example or two of applications and clients where they've deployed your solution in their environment. I apologize if you've already done that, but for my benefit, if you haven't, would you do it again?
No, I haven't. Absolutely. To differentiate a little bit from Tom for the audience purposes, a recent engagement was actually a firm in the construction business, and it was their accounts payable where they were suffering their biggest challenges, and they had a staff of 10 processing accounts payable, all working a tremendous amount of overtime, documents getting entered too late in order for the books to be closed accurately on a monthly basis. And we're looking to improve that process. It's further complicated when you have remote authorizers of invoices, which they did. And so our solution went in to target that problem. We converted a manual accounts payable-based system into a document management electronic-based system. And the results were that they were able to accomplish the work by redeploying 50% of their staff, eliminating the overtime, and closing the books on time, which allowed them in the construction business to get the cost into the current period, which is also a driver in terms of what they bill their customers. So it had not only a cost effect, but it had a revenue effect by being able to do that timely and accurately. They are now moving on to the billing process and looking to automate that and actually send their invoices out electronically versus in paper form. And they are looking to the benefits of faster accounts receivable collections to minimize their working capital requirements. The third department that they plan to extend to is human resources. Again, the challenge is with remote locations, the hiring is typically done at a remote location, and all the onboarding documents necessary for a new employee becomes very inefficient to do that in paper and overnight it or somehow hope to get it back to corporate. Input into payroll so that people get their paychecks on time and you begin the personnel file for employees. So that's, I think, an example of a commercial account, once again, targeting back office solutions. Another had to do with customer service where they were required to provide their customers with proof of deliveries, had a large delivery fleet, and their challenge in billing and collecting was in the way that they handled the paper process for proof of deliveries. And we implemented a solution so that at the point of delivery, simply by a signature by the customer, that proof of delivery was uploaded into the client's billing system, and that document would track to the actual invoice so that when that was presented to the customer, there was no question. The invoice was accompanied by the signed proof of delivery and certainly helped them minimize the customer inquiries and delays in terms of customer payment.
These are interesting applications, and in a minute I'm going to ask you about the consultative nature of deploying these paperless systems and processes inside of your clients. So put that in the back of your mind to be thinking about it, because I do want to get to that next. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you a specific question on this concept of ROI, return on investment of a paperless system deployment. You know, Les, I guess I'll ask you to go first, and then Tom, we'll come to you to kind of address this from your client's perspective. But where do you guys see the cost savings coming from in a deployment of, you know, that supports the financial calculations of a return on investment of putting in a system that you're talking about or that you've talked about?
Sure. Well, with the caveat that every business is a little different, our track record suggests that we direct our opportunities where we can generate a return on investment of 1 year or less, and that's based on hard cost. The common areas for cost reduction, somewhat in order, first of all, would be time, and that is by reducing the amount of time to accomplish the work, so staff redeployment or reduction. Our goal is to enable the office worker to accomplish twice the amount of work processed in a manual environment. In an accounts payable application, it's by providing the client with a system that allows them to process vendor payments early so that they can benefit from early payment discounts. Reducing working capital costs through accelerating the collections of receivables and thereby reducing financing costs that the client may be incurring. Reduction in printing and copying costs. It's a large P&L item. Tom mentioned reduction of office space costs for both on-site files and off-site storage. And lastly, you might be amazed at how much is spent in the area of postage and overnight expenses related to moving documents or delivering documents from one site to another.
Interesting. Tom, would you like to add to what Lessa just said?
Yeah, and I can give an example of what Les just said about the expense, but of course ROI to me is a very complicated, and you can get it from many different areas. The most obvious, of course, is elimination of file cabinets and or entire filing rooms, which Les talked about space. Efficiency is a big part, but a little more difficult to compute unless you can actually eliminate a number of people, which sometimes isn't always the best thing, but in today's scenario with the economy being what it is, a lot of people have already been eliminated, and we can come in and help those left to do a job easier. Of course, I garnered a simple answer from a past president of the association that we belong to. It's called the Association for Information and Imaging Management, or we call it AIM. And the scenario that I've used for years kind of goes like this. It's the average office in the United States spends about 12 minutes on every piece of paper. 3 minutes are spent doing the necessary work. 9 minutes are spent retrieving and putting the paper back. Clearly, three-quarters of the time dealing with paper is spent physically handling it with literally no work being done. In our Check 21 solution, we did a credit union in Texas, for example. Their transportation costs just to deliver physical checks to the Federal Reserve cost them $50,000 a year. This is a small credit union. We installed our CheckMation product that scans the checks, archives the checks now into LaserFish, and then we electronically transmit the checks to the Federal Reserve. So the day that the program was installed, their transportation costs of the Federal Reserve went to zero. I mean, there are other aspects of you know, that, but that's the clearly obvious thing about transportation costs. And that's a small cost to a small credit union. You can imagine what bigger credit unions and banks are paying just to transmit checks to the Federal Reserve.
These are hard costs, too, that you're talking about companies no longer having to deal with. You know, that they're real savings to the bottom line. It's a line item on their expenses that, you know, one day they've got shipping, the next day they don't. So it's it's interesting, which leads me then to my question, which I kind of mentioned that I was going to ask you both beforehand. And Tom, let's stay with you on this to answer it first, and then Les will come to you, which is I'm curious, when you engage with a client or a potential client, do they know in advance what they want to have you help them in process to improve through, you know, technology? Or is it more of a process of discovery in your experience, Tom, in working with a client on the application of your technology to their current processes and how that might help them? So can you just sort of, I guess my question to make it simpler is, do people know where they want to improve the process before you walk in the door? Or is that kind of a collaborative effort through, you know, your experience and your technology?
No, generally they don't know, and it is a collaborative effort. When somebody contacts us, however the case may be, we will sit down and we will work with them to understand the workflow and the processes of their business. And you'll ask questions about where they expect to save and stuff like that, and they'll be surprised at some of the things that you can show them. So it is a learning process for both them and us, especially if we're new to their business. Now, we do work in certain arenas where we have a lot of experience, and as a result, they call us because of that. They've talked to somebody that says, oh, you want to call DataNet Solutions, et cetera, et cetera. And, but it is a learning process for both, in my opinion.
Interesting. And Les, from your perspective?
We approach it much the same as Tom does, and that begins with an assessment. So typically a client will have either process or department in mind, and what we'll do is work with them through an assessment of what we call developing a current state. So we'll flow chart with them and all the way down to the users, you know, how the process works, every step of the way, and then we'll begin to explore with them, you know, what their vision is towards a future state. Depending on their familiarity, we will certainly add and suggest functionality to get them to a future state to accomplish their objectives. This is all memorialized in what's called a statement of work that is signed off by ourselves and by our clients and is obviously a roadmap or the architectural plans for the solution. Now, it may sound overcomplicated, and that's clearly not my intent. I think that's actually been a myth or a misperception in the marketplace for middle market companies. The reality is for 20 years or more, these solutions have been available to the middle market. They're off-the-shelf software products. In our case, we focus on what are called click-configurable products versus heavy programming products. And the benefit of that is that it lowers the cost to procure and lowers the cost to implement because time to completion is quicker and also lowers the cost for maintenance. So it really is an environment that has existed, the opportunity has existed for a long time, the need in the marketplace has existed for a long time. And frankly, my conclusion is that what's been missing is the distribution. If you think about it, or companies think about it, and if they were to think just off the top of their head, who's the 800-pound gorilla in the marketplace providing these solutions that commonly markets and is in front of through various media, the marketplace, and the answer is there is no one substantially doing the branding. So I don't want to mislead the listeners because this is not, you know, leading edge or bleeding edge technology. It's technology that's been around for a long time.
That's interesting.
Is Rick still with us, Les?
I don't hear him.
Well, bet you his computer crashed again.
Yeah, he's having a Microsoft moment, perhaps.
Yes. The dreaded blue screen. Well, I guess we can talk, since he's not here. If I may, just add to what you were talking about too. I guess this business has kind of been around since I think about early 1980s. So
right.
It's amazing that document management started in the old DOS days. And I mean, it's certainly a mature market these days compared to some other businesses that are just starting out there. And I think it's got no place but up. As more and more people start talking to us, you know, you and us about getting rid of these file cabinets and making things, processes more efficient than what they've been doing, particularly in, like you said, in invoices and accounts payable, our Check 21, and et cetera, et cetera. So.
That leads me to a question that I wanted to ask you both, which is, you know, there's more awareness today about recycling and the environment and the, I guess, green movement. And from a business owner's perspective, you know, our listening audience, I'm sure they are, you know, wondering too how that's affecting your business or what you guys, what forces you're seeing in the marketplace that are maybe derivatives of the green movement. So, Tom, since you were speaking last, maybe we'll start with you, and then Les, you know, if you wouldn't mind giving your perspective. But the question very simply is, you know, what impact or what influence has the rise of the green movement kind of had on your business in the marketplace?
Well, it's since I've been doing this since 1996 with Laserfish, we've been talking about it. We talked about going paperless back then. Of course, we'd say go paperless, save a tree, and not. The green movement has just recently taken effect, or you hear green more than anything than in the past. And so I think green is just catching up with what folks like Les and I have been in the business for this many years, been talking about for years. And it makes sense to get rid of the paper. And I think because of it, it's helping our business for sure. More and more people that want to catch on to the green movement or trying to eliminate the paper and or anything just to go electronic. And it makes sense.
Les, what's your perspective on that?
Sure. I guess let me backtrack just a bit in the sense that DocuSource is a bit unique in terms of a solution provider to document management. We have our roots 16 years ago actually on the hardware side of paper documents, and that is in the scanning, printing, and copying of documents. And so oftentimes we'll find ourselves in meetings with hardware clients and talking to them about ways of reducing their costs with us. And through that, by deploying software solutions to convert paper to electronic form. So the green movement and the consumption of paper and trees is certainly something we're very familiar with on a firsthand basis. But I would say our experience, the green movement, it's a positive psychological influence. The ability to reduce the consumption of paper or trees is a benefit perceived by most clients as good citizens of the environment. However, the far greater decision factor still comes back to return on investment.
You know, and as you guys are explaining how people and firms are using your technology and your solutions to really, you're talking about improving the process, there's still a place in the business for paper to be generated, and it's required, frankly. And so, you know, it's sort of bringing, I'm hearing you talking, really, in the examples that you're giving, I'm thinking about giving a business owner more freedom to choose when they want paper and not having to have the paper to enable the process. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like paper is a choice then. When do we need to print that document and why, and how do we do that efficiently rather than, well, which we always print the document. You're really allowing them to have a more freedom in how they run their business. That's sort of what I'm hearing from your examples. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that, Rick. It's a behavioral change for sure, and that takes time for that to occur. So we don't take anything away. It's an added feature. It's added functionality, and over time, it grows in terms of useful function. And over time, people find that there is much less reason to print the paper. But that's why DocuSource in our model, it'll never be paperless. So in our model, we present and have built the company around an end-to-end document management solution, whether it be in paper or electronic form. We don't believe it'll ever be paperless, so we stand to help our clients with the output, the print and copying side. And it provides an integrated solution. So, for example, if you're having a scanning problem, you're not troubleshooting between a hardware vendor that perhaps provided the scanners and then to move on to a software provider that perhaps provided the scanning software. And we believe there's value in that end-to-end design and integration.
Well, I have to agree with you because, having run businesses before, nothing's more challenging than when you decide to go in a new direction and change processes and behavior, then only to have issues with the smooth flow of that new process being implemented. It really challenges the business leader, the business owner, to stay focused on point with his employees. Because invariably, you get people are going, well, it was so much easier when we did it the other way, and then if the vendors aren't working together. So I can see how having a single point of contact is a real value for the business owner or top executive, knowing that, they can look across the table and ask for help and know that you've got a kind of holistic, view on the process. So I can see your point. Les, you talked about mid-market firms, and Tom, you talked about working with small companies to Fortune 500. I'm curious, and I'm sure that some of our listeners are as well. Maybe they're out there thinking, well, you got to be big to really get the advantage of this ROI that they've talked about, or, you got to have mountains of paper and conference rooms full of, storage places to really see the financial impact. Tom, I'll start with you, and then Les will come to you. Could you help us to understand why you see small to large firms, and then to Les's point, mid-market firms, seeing value in deploying these solutions? Maybe help debunk the myth that you have to be big to get an ROI on a paperless process improvement.
Well, the best example I can give is a longtime friend, and he happens to be my attorney. He's a business attorney, does my contracts and stuff like that, but he's a one-man operation. He's been doing it for quite a long time, and he has our products installed, Laserfish, and he also uses a voice recognition software, Dragon Naturally Speaking. So he dictates his letters, and everything gets scanned, subpoenas some records, he gets boxes of papers, and he'll hire a company to come in and scan all the documents for him, and he does all of his research using the benefits of document imaging, document management. He doesn't have to pay the transcriptionist costs using electronic, dictating and then having somebody retype it and edit it and stuff like that. It's all done electronically. One example, we have a major government account because of an attorney that used to work in this facility, and he left and started his own. And by God, they stayed friends, and he got business from them. And they're at his office, a one-man shop, and he's saying, what are you doing? You know, and he's looking and scanning some papers in and stuff like that. And so much so that they called us. We went in, did a demo, and I mean, this had to be approved by from Washington D.C. And et cetera, et cetera. And that worked out to be a pretty significant account of ours because of one guy using a one-user system that didn't cost a lot of money, but they saw the efficiency of this one-man operation, and they transposed it into their operation. So
that's an interesting example. How I don't think we can get many business owners out here less than a single individual in their firm. I mean, it's pretty logical that speaks volumes to the range of value that a business owner can find, even a sole, you know, maybe he's a corporation, but he's a single employee. Les, do you have a similar perspective or a different perspective on you were talking about mid-market firms benefiting from your technology and your solutions?
Sure. I would say, first of all, the Fortune level companies, they figured this out in the 70s and the 80s, and those are different providers, different solutions, different requirements. As far as I believe a business does need to have a minimum size or significant growth plans in terms of the market that we pursue. Minimum solution costs can begin at about $1,200 per month. And at DocuSource, we target companies with a minimum of 50 PC users. So perhaps that's a metric that helps bring it into perspective. Obviously, the number of PCs in an office is indicative of the amount of paper and also transactions. With that said, and Tom may be more familiar, certainly we are, there are less expensive solutions that just provide less functionality. For example, systems that simply provide file and find capabilities, scan to electronics so that you can retrieve those documents later, but may not provide any automated workflow. These can be purchased for $500 a month.
Okay. Well, I think that helps to speak to where you see your value in the marketplace and the kind of clients that you can help the most. And that's a wide range between both of you, and so I'm glad that we had a chance to kind of touch on that. I guess I wanted to ask you both to help our listeners and help me to sort of, since you've been in it for 30 years combined, you know, what's the future hold? I mean, you know, take a couple minutes. We have about 10 minutes left here for the interview, and I do want to have a couple more things to get to you too, but I don't want to rush you. But I think it's important to help provide guidance to our listening audience from being on the inside and working with this topic every day, gentlemen. Where do you see this going in the future? And Tom, if you would be comfortable in addressing that question first, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Of course, my perspective is things are they're just going to grow. Things are being refined and becoming more efficient with particularly technology changes. For example, storage. You know, today we mentioned earlier we talk about terabytes, where it used to be we talked about megabytes, and things are changing rather dramatically. I call the new process, I think, going forward for a short period of time now, but it's business process solutions are really taking over. For DataNet, Les mentioned earlier, we work with the LaserFish workflow product, and that is going to become more important than it ever has been in the past, in my opinion. And, you know, workflow works with electronic images and files, and it replaces the need to physically handle these things, paper and or other electronic media. With workflow, you always know where your file is. You always know where it is in the process. If there's a bottleneck, you know where the bottleneck is. Things just don't get lost anymore. There's the excuses of I lost it, it's not in a file, or my dog ate it. You know, they're all gone or will be gone. We can now determine exactly what happened, who did it, where it is, from creation to end of life of every electronic file. and more we are focusing on that. We talked earlier about truly being paperless. Well, I have a little different perspective. I think eventually we will be paperless. Not in our lifetime, but somebody's lifetime. I think down the road it'll probably happen. But paper is going to be around for a long time to come. We have some technology that will address paper on a different issue, but then converting it to electronic for processing, business processing, from the invoices to payroll to everything else, and move it in a system. I'll give you an example. We had a system. We have a system in place in the law enforcement arena, and shortly after we installed it, I was called to say that a person was released from prison, and it was because our system failed. And so, you know, our engineer shows up, and we tracked exactly what happened to these documents from the creation to a point where a supervisor destroyed the documents. And I wasn't allowed to talk to that supervisor, but I never saw that supervisor in the office again. Don't know what happened, but that's the extent that we can take it. We know who did what, when they did it, why they did it, and all kinds of things. And I believe that's where we're going. Les explained a lot of that process earlier in the technical aspects of processing documents. I mean, we're at the point now where we can do a pretty good job of even taking paper with writing, handwriting on it, or electronically on notebooks and stuff like that, and converting it to digital text where we can use it to push it to somebody else's program, be it an accounting program, a court program, a law enforcement program, any kind of a HR program, and then process the data without losing it and knowing exactly where it is, why it's there, how long it's going to be there, and move it along if there's a problem.
Wow, that's a significant improvement in the business processes as well. So would you, Les, give us a vision of the future from your perspective?
Sure. We see it as very bright, and I think to back up, I give a lot of credit or attribute it to the explosion of the Internet and the amount of information that the business office or office worker has just absolutely exploded. And therefore, I believe the trend, although the amount of electronic content is up, so is the amount of paper that is printed. And again, I believe that one of the major drivers is the information available through the Internet. Now, with that said, you might be surprised, and not sure if Tom would agree with this statistic, but our research shows that only approximately 10% of middle market companies have adopted electronic document management solutions. The adoption trend is accelerating quickly as managers learn of the benefits, the affordability, and the ease of solutions. And I go back to the earlier point I made in that our marketplace or this industry has lacked an 800-pound gorilla marketing the space. When you think of printers, you think of HP, and you know, it goes on and on. Only recently did Microsoft make an entry into this area. And I bring them up because certainly the listeners will be familiar. And they have a product that was introduced and has been improved, one that we support by the name of SharePoint. However, the reality is that the product is not complete from a document management solution. It has a couple of areas that are tremendous and are really at its core. But if you require true document management and transactional processing capabilities, solutions such as ours integrate to it and provide the best of breed for the marketplace. But I bring up the name only because I believe that through Microsoft, a firm of that size, that the market awareness is going to grow. And certainly, as the tide grows, all boats will rise. And I believe a lot of management will now be asking themselves, you know, is this an area that we ought to be taking a look at? In the past, management would focus on automated solutions, for example, for CRM, the front of the house or the sales side of the house, or perhaps it's a manufacturer and it was automation for the factory floor. And I believe that the trend we see now is an awareness of the opportunity to drive productivity in the back office. And it's just been kind of a last bastion of opportunity. But with companies very seriously looking at managing their general and administrative expense, this is certainly what we call low-hanging fruit. So I predict that in the future, we're going to look back and ask ourselves, how did we ever get the job done using paper-based manual systems? And I draw the parallel much to how software was adopted by companies to accomplish their accounting. I'm old enough and with my audit background to have had clients where I performed the audit on manual accounting books and records. That was the technology at that time, and it worked. It got the job done, but obviously there was a more productive solution, and no one would return to the manual set of ledgers. I believe document management will have a similar profound impact to the office document environment.
So we'll be in the enlightened age looking back on how we ran businesses before. You could, technology can do that to you, can't it? And as it works its way into the business, becomes basically the way of doing business, and you wonder, how did you ever live? It's a hardware solution, but how did we ever live without a cell phone? Or how did we ever conduct business without email? Right? The days were when you did, but can't imagine going back to days of not having those productivity tools. Hey, you know,
Rick,
guys,
If you have a minute, there's one other item I might mention to the listeners relate to, and that is compliance. Regulatory compliance is coming at us, in just absolute record amounts and speed. And a recent one is what's called the Electronic Discovery Act, wherein if a company is sued, they now have very specific requirements under which they need to preserve, protect, and deliver subpoenaed information from all business records. And that electronic data could reside on a PDA today, could reside on a laptop, could reside on the hard drive of a desktop, or be part of the server network. So there, you're talking about facing sanctions and penalties, let alone the risk of a summary judgment to a lawsuit. And so it's just one example from a compliance standpoint where this technology certainly, would provide you with the safety and security to allow you to respond in such cases.
Well, that's an interesting point. I'm glad we had time to get to it. Thank you for that. I did want to ask, before we finish this interview, though, is there anything else about your firm? And Tom, I'll start with you. Is there anything else about DataNet Solutions that, we've not talked about today that you would like to, say to the listening audience to cover that, that I didn't have a chance to ask you about that you were hoping to be able to talk about today?
Yeah, I would just like to talk about, DataNet, and DataNet is what it is today because of the dedication of each and every employee that I have. The men and women that I have here work hard to take care of each customer that we have and sell our products, Laserfish, and our own products that we've developed. DataNet could not exist without their dedication, as our customers will testify to. We want your experience as a customer to be one where, after dealing with us, you walk away with the feeling, wow, our experience is so great, my company must be the only customer they have. Mm. And I've preached that philosophy for years. Now, we are successful, but my philosophy is we don't want to be number one. We just want to be the best. And
so,
by the way,
thanks.
Les, I do agree with your statistics, that 10%. It's amazing that we've come this far and only that few have adopted, you know, what we've been talking about.
Thanks, Tom. Les, is there anything about DocuSource that we did not have a chance to talk about that you'd like to mention in closing?
Sure. Perhaps just some helpful hints to the listeners. Don't be reluctant to become educated on how these solutions can benefit your company. DocuSource provides free seminars designed to educate the business manager. Number two is, when approaching a document management initiative, start with one department or one application. Prove it out and then move on to the next. Doing any more than that can be like drinking out of a fire hydrant. And lastly, evaluate procuring this technology or this capability under what's referred to as software as a service. Mm-hmm. As an alternative to purchasing software and servers. And this may provide an opportunity to be a better fit for a company's cash flow and also for the ease of implementation without giving up or sacrificing any functionality or expandability.
That's great advice. And I guess the true last question is, if someone wants to find out more about you and your firm, Les, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, I can give you my email address, being that we prefer to be electronic wherever possible. And my email address is lwalker@docusource. That's one word, DocuSource.com, or by phone, 562-447-2662, or lastly, visit our website at docusource.com.
Great. And Tom, how would someone get in touch with you or your firm?
Okay, we are in Anaheim, and our website is datanet, DATANET, one word, solutions, SOLUTIONS, .com. Our phone number, 800 number, is 800-797-8299, or area code 714-630-0337. And if you want to get in touch with me personally, you can send your email me at tomz, T-O-M-Z, at datanet-solutions.com.
Great. Well, I want to thank both of you for covering so much ground in such a short amount of time and bringing our listening audience kind of up to speed with how you see the industry and the benefits of this technology. I would encourage our listening audience to take a moment and visit both websites and learn more about what these companies have to offer and these gentlemen. I enjoyed this afternoon, and I look forward to maybe bringing you both back sometime in the future, and we can get an update from you on your perspective of the industry. Next week, we have Marty Snyder, and my partner Doug Gefeller will be interviewing Marty Snyder of Communication Infrastructure Corporation to talk about the telecommunications industry today and tomorrow, kind of building on the theme of technology that we were able to kind of delve into a little bit here today. On behalf of Doug and the rest of us here at Renaissance Executive Forums, this is Rick Franzi saying I hope you have a good week, and I hope you make good decisions this week. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Listening to Critical Mass with Rick Franzi and Doug Feller, only on